May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So as hard as it may be to believe, I know I have a hard time believing it, it's been 6 years since I arrived here at St. Mark's. And one of the things I've been thinking about is 6 years ago when I arrived, a lot of newspaper reporters came out to do the obligatory new priest in town stories. And they all wanted to know, what was my plan for church growth? How was I going to attract new members to St. Mark's? It is entirely possible you all were thinking the same thing. It's one of those things that when we start on a transition, when we start with new clergy, that we all are eager to see growth. And especially, I have no doubt, on July Sundays, when we look around and we miss familiar faces. I have to tell you, when I read the parable that Jesus tells today, I have to wonder if Jesus didn't have that same experience on more than one occasion. Yes, Jesus, you've got the crowds today, but where are they going to be next week when we have work to do? Drawing in new people is absolutely one of the things we most want to do as Christians. But let's face it, quite often, it's as much about the fact that we have a long list of tasks that need doing and things that need to be funded as much as it is for any other reason. I suspect the disciples were hoping they'd get some help organizing the crowds. And I suspect it wasn't any easier for Jesus than it is for any new clergy, or it is for you. When the crowds do not promptly turn into standing room only tickets, and we don't have to immediately add four new services, and the budget doesn't quadruple because the new priest arrived. It can be, especially when those things don't happen immediately, a little discouraging, especially when time goes on and it still doesn't seem like the good news of Jesus Christ is producing the results that we wanted, expected, and thought by now we ought to have. But I appreciate the fact that when Jesus stops to tell this story, he's a realist. He's watched a few farmers. And he knows perfectly well that just because someone had an encounter, even an amazing, wonderful encounter with him and the Word of God, it isn't going to be an instant transformation. The world is not going to be instantly changed just because he stood on a hillside or stood in a boat and told them the good news of God. Jesus realizes that this is not going to be that simple. Because even though we have amazing and wonderful and phenomenal good news and something really marvelous to share, not everybody is going to be ready to receive it. And Jesus acknowledges that. He says some people are going to be immediately enthusiastic, but they're not going to be in it for the long haul. Some people are going to think we're just crazy. They're never going to hear what's good news in this at all. And they're just going to put us down as a bunch of crazy, wacky people constantly talking about things that don't have any direct resonance with me. Some people are going to just never even get a chance to hear. Those words are never going to register or settle. But Jesus does two things in the story. First, he doesn't suggest that means the farmer should stop planting. He doesn't say, so therefore, why are you wasting your time scattering seed? No, he says, a sower went out to sow some seeds. And not only did the sower sow seeds, he sowed seeds everywhere he could reach. He's propagating sowing those seeds. The sower had to have realized that a bunch of those seeds, in fact, maybe most of those seeds, were never going to take root. But he doesn't give up before he's begun. No, he goes on out there and he sows the seed knowing that only some of it will ever bear fruit. And that's okay. could also call it the parable of the miraculous harvest. Because the seed that actually lands on good soil, Jesus says, look what it does. A good harvest, a decent harvest that you might expect in a good year, is 7 to 10-fold. The worst harvest Jesus anticipates from the seed that lands on good soil is 30-fold. And some of it's going to yield 100-fold. This is a miraculous bounty. This is a bounty, a harvest. That means that it doesn't matter how much seed never sprouts, the seed that lands in the good soil is going to produce such an amazing harvest that everybody gets fed. What matters is not how much seed doesn't sprout. What matters is what happens to the seed that falls on good soil. We sometimes act as though the harvest is the number of people in the pews and money in the plate. That's not the harvest. Those are the people taking up Jesus' task of sowing seed. That's all of us being called into. We're the people who have inherited the good news and by virtue of having received it on good soil are now entrusted with the task of sowing it profligately. Not just in people who we think are good prospects to become solid church members and good pledgers, but to sow and share the wondrous, amazing, wonderful good news of salvation, of God's love, in every place we can find and reach, whether it seems promising or not, whether it seems barren or not, whether we're pretty sure that as soon as we speak the words, they're going to be snatched away and nobody's ever going to listen to them, or not. Because some of them are going to fall on good soil. And if some of those seeds fall on good soil, God's the one who gives the growth. And the harvest will make that worthwhile. And if the harvest isn't people in the pews or money in the plate, it also means that the way we measure that harvest is probably wrong. The question is, how do we, by being present here, change the world? How do we change the equation? How do we bear fruit that makes things different? Who ends up finding hope who didn't have hope before? Who finds help who didn't know where to turn? Who finds a promise of abundance in a world that tells us over and over again that there isn't enough for everyone? That we must grasp what we can and hold on to whatever we get, because if we sow that seed foolishly or carelessly, there won't be enough. Our harvest is on people who arrive and realize there is enough because it's God that gives the growth, and the seed that falls on good soil yields so abundantly. So we can dare to hope. We can dare to be people who refuse to live as though scarcity was not something to be afraid of. As though we could share everything that we have. Our harvest is in who in the world realizes that there are possibilities they didn't dream of, that there is seed being scattered, that there is abundant harvest just waiting for us if we are willing to claim the goodness of God. This is indeed the parable of the sower, of Christ who came and shared with us all of this amazing good news, who drew crowds who will notice were not there on Good Friday, except calling for his death. But who knew that the seed that he planted in those who had ears to hear and hearts to understand would carry forth the good news in such a way that it would change the world. We are not the harvest, we are the sowers of seed. Because we received the word and it has grown in the good soil of our hearts, and now we are called to go forth and share it. And if it's quiet on Sunday mornings, well, that's because God has given us everything that we need this morning to rejoice, to celebrate, to cultivate the soil of our own hearts, to receive the good news of God. And if we trust God, there's more to come in the times ahead. Amen.